This is a replay of the Wednesday night, May 21st WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. I've got your requests lined up and hoping for your calls at 888-876-5593. But just in case, I'm always prepared, and I've got animal stories tonight. I never really thought about this before, but there are times when animals, veterinary medicine, will take the exact same medicine we do. The only difference, of course, is that they have to be weight adjusted. So in the case of elephants, yeah, and what this is, it's a zoo in Pakistan where a couple of the elephants have tested positive for tuberculosis. Now, the sad part is how they know this. Originally, there were 4 elephants who arrived. 2 of them died, and in the autopsy, it was determined that they had TB. And so they tested the other 2, exhibited no symptoms whatsoever, and sure enough, came back positive. So what to do? Well, the treatment is identical. But, of course, the amount is adjusted for weight. Elephants are about 8,800 pounds, so in general, that's 400 pills a day. Now, not only that, the elephants don't like them. Now, of course, they're trying to disguise them, as you would with your house pets. You know, in this case, put them in bananas or somehow get them into apples or other type of sweets and all that. The elephants are pretty smart, though, and they were stressed at the beginning, but they found ways not to in fact consume the pills. In fact, the methods were interesting because at times the elephants would just charge the keepers. That'll work, but not to be dissuaded. The keepers continued, and what they realized was that about the best is stew rice and lentils mixed with plenty of molasses. And it doesn't sound good to me, but they rolled the concoction into dozens of balls, and of course, in the middle are the tablets. And so far, the elephants have been somewhat willing to willing to take their meds, so to speak. They have to do this for a year. Now, it's interesting too. There are a lot of veterinarians who are watching this because it's somewhat novel. You don't normally see a year worth of TB treatment for elephants. Obviously, they don't have medicine directly for them, so here they have people medicine. Now, you might have already thought of the problem. Oh, and there is one. If not, somebody has to feed this concoction to the animals several times a day because they're not going to down 400 pills at once, obviously. TB is quite contagious. So the key here is making sure the zoo workers are not only wearing face masks, but probably full body scrubs when feeding the elephants to avoid contracting the disease themselves. But that's what's going on in Pakistan. And actually, the animal it's not really a zoo, but it's a safari park. And the safari park where the animals are held has long been criticized for mistreatment of captive animals, including elephants. In fact, one was evacuated after Cher, yes, the American singer, did a campaign on its treatment. And I have no idea how that animal is doing, but it's hopeful that in this case that the two remaining at the park with treatment will be just fine. Then we have a story about cats. Oh, yeah. Love this. People who think cats cannot be trained. Oh, au contraire. In this case, it's prison guards in Costa Rica that intercepted a prison drug delivery, catching a cat as it jumped over the periphery fence with marijuana and crack taped to its body. The cat was carrying over 230 grams of marijuana and 67 grams of crack cocaine in two packages. And it was captured a few weeks ago at a prison right in Costa Rica. And there's a video, if you wanted to see it, of a guard climbing the perimeter fence to catch the cat burglar. Although I don't know if the cat was a burglar. Of course, it wasn't taking anything from the prison. It was trying to deliver something to it. And so they got the feline, and they managed to extract the cat from the drugs without any ill effects for said feline. And so packages were removed, and a cat was taken to an animal welfare society. But yeah, if you don't think they're trainable, stories like that, right? Because this thing, God only knows who trained it, how they trained it, and how it worked out. And apparently it was working out very well until the final moment. Yeah, well, it's always always something. But wait, there's more. And feel free to interrupt the show anytime. That's right. Or I'll just go on. And we have monkeys, kidnappers. Apparently, there's a new trend catching on among bored young male monkeys, kidnapping other baby monkeys. Now, these are the capuchin monkeys, the male capuchins, who are kidnapping the howler monkeys. In what scientists say is the first time animals have been recorded stealing another species' infant for no apparent reason. And so, of course, you know there's a PhD study in this. So PhD student Zoe Goldsboro first noticed something wrong in 2022 when he was sifting through footage captured by motion-triggered cameras on an island off the coast of Panama. He said, "I was very shocked. I saw a white-faced capuchin monkey with a baby howler monkey on its back." And so Goldsboro realized right there he had his PhD thesis, you know that. And the scientist nicknamed the capuchin Joker because of the small scar at the side of its mouth. It reminded him of the Batman villain. And they've been watching Joker for some time, and they've spotted Joker carrying four different howler monkey babies. Now, at first they thought that this was a heartwarming story of just a weird capuchin adopting these infants. But then scientists started finding other cases not involving Joker. They eventually observed five capuchins carrying 11 different howler infants over a 15-month period. And, of course, they discovered, I say of course because you'd figure it, the mournful mothers, the howler monkey mothers calling for their lost babies, showing that the infants had actually been abducted. So researchers were puzzled because capuchins did not eat, thank God, or prey on the babies, nor did they seem to enjoy playing with them. They eventually came to the conclusion, PhD nerds that they are, that this was a social tradition, a fad among the young male capuchins. And it is the first time one species has been documented repeatedly abducting the infants of another species. And so there you have it. Now, sadly, four of the howler babies were observed to have died. But researchers believe, sadly, that the others didn't survive as well. Now, exactly how the capuchins managed to kidnap the babies remains a mystery. But I'm sure we'll know before the year is out. It's happening at Coba National Park. And so there you have that. 888-876-5593. You're a radio fan. I know that because you listen to this show, and you wouldn't put up with me if you weren't. So therefore, I'm pretty sure you're aware of the Sea Crane catalog. But if not, you need to go there. ccradio.com, ccradio.com. When you get there, you'll not only see great products, but you will see great information about radio, too. So if you're a DXer and you like trying to listen to distant stations, not only will you get a number of radios from which to choose, but like I say, information on how to do it better. One of the radios you look at is the CC Radio 2E. That is my bedside companion. And I always say, I don't have to tell you how good this radio is. There's a simple test. Get the CC Radio 2E, put it next to your standard AM radio. I don't care what it is. Tune to a weak station on the AM radio, the standard thing you've been listening to all along, and something that barely comes in. Now, take the CC Radio 2E right next to it, tune to the same station, case closed. Yeah, it is just developed to receive long-range AM and FM stations, making weak signals strong and bringing things in better. Not only that, it's designed to have high-quality audio. And the nice thing about that is you have a bit of control on adjusting that as well. So whatever you want, you'll get it to sound great. It's also including the weather alert and weather emergency, which makes it a great emergency radio. But it's got a lighted dial, it's got a clock and a timer and an alarm. So it is a perfect bedside companion. And like all the radios Bob Crane has developed, it just has superior reception. Now, if you haven't witnessed this yet, go to ccradio.com and check it out, because the one commonality in all the radios that Bob Crane develops is great reception. But nothing beats that CC Radio 2E. It's my favorite. Now, the CC Radio 3, arguably just as good in reception, plus it has Bluetooth, should that float your boat. But if you're looking for a tradition and the original, the CC Radio 2E. So ccradio.com. Now, if you can't go online for some reason, all is not lost. They've got the best customer service. They'll take your calls. They'll mail you a catalog free of charge in the mail if you'd like one, if you can't go online. And you can order online as well. So that's 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. So whether it's by phone or whether it's online, ccradio.com. You check out the CC Radio 2E. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. This takes us back to the start of VJ Records, 1953. In fact, that wasn't even on VJ. It was on Chance, which had been Art Sheridan's label with Edward Abner. And so, nonetheless, that was sort of the start, as far as recording, for the Spaniels. And it's interesting in terms of where did they come up with the name? Because, of course, you had a ton of groups that were birds, you know, whether it's the Orioles or the Cardinals or on and on and on. But the Spaniels? Well, as it turns out, Gerald Gregory, who is, and by the way, the boys are still in high school at this point, but even though he's in high school, Gerald Gregory is already married. And one day his wife said, you, and they were the Hudson Airs at the time, you guys sound like a bunch of dogs. Well, goodbye, Hudson Airs, and hello, Spaniels. It kept. And so that's the deal. Pookie Hudson, of course. So that was one of the six-pack from Jimmy P, and we've got two more to go, and we'll certainly do that. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh, and we can continue to talk about doo-wop or animals or what. Well, I mean, hey, Spaniels, I guess we're on the subject of animals now that I think about it, but we have other ones as well. Yeah, and so other than that, show's better when you call, and I appreciate it if you do that. So meantime, I'll try to find other things to amuse you until you decide you're going to do that. So I don't know if I've run out of animal stories or not, actually. I should have looked during the break. Instead, I was looking up for more facts of the Spaniels. And right. So, yeah, what is going on? And not very much, actually. It's kind of a slow news time. And I'm hearing that, actually, from a lot of people that, you know, for whatever reason. But we got the Indianapolis 500 coming up this weekend. And beyond that, well, a lot of high school graduations, depending on where you are. There's a real trend where we are, actually, in Arizona, for the four-day school week. And the kids don't actually get less schooling. They just have to go a lot longer. So time off is less than 8 weeks. But it's a four-day week. And originally it was sold to people saying, well, the schools are going to save money on electric and all sorts of other things because they won't be open. Well, that would be fine if the kids got Monday off, but as it turns out, the kids get Friday off, and there's all sorts of athletic things happen on Friday, so the schools are still open. But nonetheless, it's really catching on, and catching on nationwide as well. So not sure what the ramifications of that are either way. But then again, you also have more and more stories, like we were talking last night, of kids who are graduating college at 10 years old and things like this. And the fact that in some states, especially online education, is every bit as good as what's going on in the classrooms and every bit as available. In fact, in many areas, the school system sends the computers and the printers and everything to the family if the kid wants to attend online. And then it's at your own pace. And you are starting to see kids who are, you know, graduating from everything at 10, for instance. You know, again, what it means, I have no idea. But I do know that the real bugaboo over the years was that people thought, well, if the kids are not going to be in the brick and mortar school, or if they're going to be homeschooled or online schooled, they're not going to have, quote unquote, socialization. Well, in many states, they have a caveat that if a child is enrolled in either homeschooling or online schooling or whatever, they are still eligible to participate in brick and mortar sports. So if they're of high school age and want to try out for the high school football team, they're able to do that. And I was hoping I'd see more and more of that because I think it's a great idea. But what I'm starting to see is in some areas, and I'm sure there's all sorts of political ramifications we'll leave right there and not discuss, but more and more you're seeing some administrators and some politicians who are trying to stop that, trying to get those kids back in the government halls of indoctrination. So maybe not moving as fast as it otherwise could. But if it's available to you and you have kids, it's something you might consider. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. We'll get back to monkeys. No, I don't think as in the prefab four, but as in the, as in the monkeys we were previously discussing. Right after the news right here on WGN Radio. Woo, woo, wee, wee. Yeah. the fifth of Jimmy P's Six Pack, The Cupids, and that was on Anko. And I know that Anko was a Brooklyn label. There's no other possibility because under the label, they have their phone number. I don't know any other city where there was a Gedney exchange. That's right, G-E-G-E-D-N-E-Y, Gedney, Gedney 94666, if you want to call. But yeah, that was on Anko. And other than that, that's The Cupids, that's Brenda, that's 1963. All right, so let's see. We got Karen in Chicago, and then we're going to talk to Johnny in Austin. All right, I'm looking forward to that, too. But always good to hear from Karen. So what's up, Karen?
Hi, I am really curious about those monkeys. For number one, why aren't they kidnapped by the males? Now, depending on when they're kidnapped, they're going to need a mother's nurturing. Either that or they're going to die.
Well, they did die.
Just wonder.
As far as we know, they all did die. Yeah, we don't know of any living ones. But why did they kidnap them?
Oh.
See, nobody seems to know that yet.
That is so strange. And, of course, they have different cultures, right? They don't live the same way. They're all monkeys. But they're not all the same.
Well, right. Now, of course, they've been watching this one monkey, Joker, but they've noticed that Joker's not alone in his napping behavior. But what some of the PhD wonks, because you know that's what's happening, all these kids who are majoring in this, oh, I got a paper out of this.
Oh, sure.
All right, they're researchers at this point. And one of the things, one of the leading theories, you'll love this, is it's arbitrary behavior caused by boredom.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. Perhaps the students have anthropomorphized this just maybe a little too much, but nonetheless, that's what they're thinking. And so it's the kidnapping of the babies of the nearby howler monkeys. Now, I think they also ought to concentrate on maybe it's not about the babies, but they don't like the howlers, and maybe the howler mamas. I don't know what the deal is.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, and it really bothers me because I love animals, and you'd think there wouldn't be any way to control that.
Well, right, other than isolating them. And that's the other thing, too. You wonder, is this going to be like the 100th monkey theory, no pun intended, but is this going to happen in other areas of the world simultaneously? Will we see this where there are other capuchins next to howlers? Will it go on in other places? Or is it learned behavior in one area? We don't know that yet.
Do they live, like, in the same areas? I imagine there are several areas where they are.
Yeah.
But they do live in close...
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Close
proximity. And the other thing, the male capuchins who are doing the kidnapping, they're basically juveniles. They're like teenagers.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
No, I heard that, and I just couldn't wind my head around it. I thought, you know, and they even don't make the same sound, obviously. I mean, them howler monkeys, you think, would drive them nuts.
Yeah, well, again, sadly, the babies apparently aren't living all that long. But I love this one researcher who his quote was, "It looks so wrong." I guess that's the understatement. Yeah, yeah, it looks wrong, all right.
He must be the top of the class.
Well, I'll tell you what. They've only recently determined that this is a thing. You know, obviously they saw Joker, the one monkey doing it, and didn't know whether this was a little more widespread, and it is. So, you know, while they're calling it a weird fad, the reality is they don't know, but I guarantee you researchers will flock to this area to start studying. And I'll be fascinated if suddenly, like in New Zealand, we find, you know, capuchins doing the same thing.
Oh, man, where were these first ones discovered?
Well, I couldn't pronounce the place.
Joker.
Where Joker was. Yeah, it starts with a J. In Smithville, as far as I know. But let me see if I can, maybe we'll get a country rather than a city. Maybe
I'm just wondering what country it was
yeah.
in.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Nowhere nearby.
Okay.
Well, we'll find out, though. It's a good question.
I'm just curious.
Okay. I did know this. I said this before. I can't believe I forgot already. Right off the coast of Panama.
Oh, my
goodness.
Yeah, I said that previously. Also going on in New Zealand.
I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just saying they need to study it to find out if it's happening anywhere else. It's an island off Panama. And I, like I say, I can't believe I can't hold a thought hostage because I mentioned it was Panama before. But apparently it's like Hickaron Island, J-I-C-A-R-O-N. I guess that's Hickaron. But anyway, that's the deal. So everybody's checking out Panama and finding out whether, in fact, and I don't know where else Capuchins live. You know, that's the other thing.
I never really knew where they were. I've read about them, and I just can't right now remember where they are.
They're native to Central and South America, primarily inhabiting tropical rainforests. And they're found in a variety of forest types, low-lying mountain and rainforests. They're particularly abundant in Argentina, Brazil, Costa Rica, and Honduras. So, you know, maybe they can check out to see whether any of them, say, in Argentina are doing that. I don't know.
No, when you mentioned mountain areas, I do believe I remember reading that. That was one of their, you know, where they live.
Yep.
And I seem to remember rainforests. But when you mentioned the mountain country, that rang a bell.
Well, and the interesting thing is they live in groups. Usually between 10 and 35 monkeys are in the family.
Good heavens. And I wonder how many males in a particular family are doing this.
I don't know. And again, in each different locale they live, they're slightly different. They have different little names and things like that. There are some that they're very social animals, and there's some people who have tried to keep them as pets. Not advisable particularly, but nonetheless. They're actually part of the pet trade of the United Kingdom.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, they don't make good pets. They really don't.
How big do they get?
Big enough. So let's see. How big can a Capuchin get? Let's find out. I'm looking at pictures, but that doesn't tell me. And of course, some will be bigger than others. Obviously, like anything else. Let's see what our large. The large ones can get to 22 inches with it. Plus on top of that, a 17-inch tail.
Oh my goodness!
But they're light. They're 3 to 11 pounds.
Now, they're not very big. I thought they'd be bigger than that.
No, they're not big. But the other thing is, if you do want one as a pet, if you're that foolhardy, understand in human care it can live more than 40 years.
That's incredible.
Right. In the wild, they make it up to 25.
But I would imagine they're hard to manage and hard to care for.
Yeah. Obviously. So it's also known as the organ grinder monkey.
Oh, mercy.
You can read all about them, I'm sure.
I know. I'm going to see what I can find. I'm going to call the library tomorrow and see what I can find.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. They're on a lot of television shows, so you can check it out.
I'm not a TV person very much.
I don't mind.
Probably wouldn't. I'm like you. Yeah. I'm just not into it. But I think I'll call the library tomorrow and see what I can find out.
Let us know.
What?
They say, let us know. If you've got more to add, I'll take it. All right.
Thank you. I was just totally fascinated by that.
Yeah.
I had to call. I hope I'm...
I'm delighted that you did.
Well, thank you so much for the information.
Absolutely.
Take care and have a good night, and I hope you're feeling better.
Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, so we will get to Johnny and Austin here in a moment. We're going to talk about soul jocks. Does it get better than that? And the final of Jimmy P's six-pack coming up in moments here on WGN Radio.
In my neighborhood, well, folks don't live so good now. The rooms are small. Most of the buildings made of wood. I hear the neighbors talking about you and me. Guess I've heard most every word, 'cause the talking's loud and the walls are much too thin. Thank you. saw her in the front yard now. Said that girl in room 149, talking to a boy, well, I never seen him before. And standing there together, don't you know they look so fine? Never ends. The heartache soon begins. The talk is so loud and the walls are much too thin.
WG Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yep. That's the final of the six-pack for Jimmy P. Jerry Butler, I Don't Want to Hear It Anymore, in 1964 on VJ. All right. Get down with your bad self. Johnny D. in Austin is calling. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, Raleigh, it's been a long time. It's good to hear your voice.
Well, you too. You too. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yay.
I'm doing fine.
Excellent.
Before I get into the topic I called about, I'm not a great stylistics fan, but there's two stylistics album tracks that are quite good, and one of them, I don't know if I heard this on your show or where it came from, but I think it's one of the greatest songs I've ever heard. It's called Just Like We Never Said Goodbye.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I would love to hear a little bit of that.
All right.
And there's a couple other songs that I like while you're talking about Jerry Butler. You're familiar with Walk Easy, My Son, aren't you?
Yes. We've talked about that before, actually. And yes, I am.
That's a good one. And another kind of off-the-wall song that came along, I think it was back in 1980 or so, was Gene Chandler, Does She Have a Friend for Me?
Right. Absolutely. You betcha.
So.
All right.
Anyway, I'm
writing these
you
down
on...
so I won't forget. Otherwise,
okay,
I will. Because, I'll get them on either tonight or tomorrow night. But if I don't write them down, I'll never remember.
Stylistics, just like we never said goodbye.
Got that. Walk Easy, My Son, and Does She Have a Friend for Me? All right.
Yeah, you're good. You're on top of it. I called with I need some help.
Okay.
And I tried to look this up on the internet, and I didn't get very far. And maybe your listeners could join in on this, too. But what I'm looking to come up with is a list of legendary soul DJs of the 60s or maybe the 50s even, all over the country. I mean, Houston, I grew up there, so sure. I know all of those jocks, and there was plenty. But I want to find a list, and maybe you can just roll them right off the tip of your tongue. I don't know. But some of the real famous R&B DJs of the 50s and 60s and what city and what stations they were on. Is
absolutely. Well, we're sitting here in Chicago, so got to start out with Herb Kent, the cool gent, the mayor of Brownsville. Got to get to Daddy-O Daily, Daddy-O on the Patio. Al Benson.
Where are these Chicago jobs?
Yes, absolutely. We're going away. And Al Benson, man, I'll tell you, he was originally Al Leaner. He had a preacher show, but they said, you can't sell commercials if you're going to preach the gospel. He said, all right, then I'll just play music. I'll be Al Benson. But that was the same station where Jockey Jack was, Jack the Rapper. And remember, Jack the Rapper started a tip sheet. So Jack Gibson, for better or worse, has got to be high on that list.
Now, what stations are we talking about?
Oh, by the way, all of this is available online. You can find this because all of these
stations... Well, where? I tried, and I couldn't find anything comprehensive enough, and I thought, well, I'm just going to have to call the person who really knows, and that's you.
Yeah, well, so a lot of it was a situation, especially in the 40s, when I mentioned Al Benson, when I was doing the religious show, that was WGES. And but there's a number of stations like this where the guys were doing a dollar a holler. They were buying the time. But then they, so he started on GES, but he got on JJD, and he was on other stations as well. So, he was on AAF. So that would be, you can kind of look up these stations. But the other thing is, there's a guy online who does soul air checks, and granted, there's not that many of them, but I don't know if you've ever seen...
Oh, is this guy named Ellis somebody?
Oh, Ellis Fieser? No, this is the stepfather of soul. And you can look for him too. But anyway, so New York, you can't get away with talking about New York without talking about Dr. Jive, Tommy Smalls. Oh my good God! And of course, you know, Baltimore, WSID. That was just wonderful. Things like Hot Rod Hulbert or even Jocko Henderson back in the day. But every market, I mean, Atlanta, you got Sir Raggedy Flag and a bunch of guys. Now, when you're talking the 50s and even the late 40s, the thing to remember is there's another class that I think is worthy. We normally wouldn't say so, but it is guys who absolutely were white, but adored the music. Like the guy who bought WAOK in Atlanta was Zena Sears. He was as white as you are, you know, but he just loved it. How about George Lorenz, Hound Dog out of Buffalo? I mean, he even had a tip sheet for a while. So, you know, of course, WLAC, I don't even need to go on. So that's a different category. Or in New Orleans, the Papa Stoppas, there were three of them. So there's a ton of things. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
And if you are listening and you have someone you want to mention from your town, maybe Dr. Bop from Milwaukee, whatever it is, you tell us. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Sigh, a sigh,
você.
When you go passing by,
você.
I know the reason why, but how can I explain?
Você.
Can you explain the sea,
você.
A sparrow in a tree, or why somebody cares for you?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That was Eduardo's request, and happy to play it. We've played stuff by her in the past. Brazilian artist, and why can't I think of her name right now? Elian Elias, there we go. And Voce, and that was on that Concord album in 2015, Made in Brazil, and a fine song it was. So, yeah, absolutely calming music. Going to get frenetic now as we continue to talk about, oh, man, legendary jocks, a time when the jocks rapped and the records didn't. We're talking to Johnny in Austin, and there's so many. And like I say, I would definitely have a section of the guys like George Lorenz or, you know, the white guys who really popularizes. But, you know, to continue, you know, I think I mentioned Dr. Jive, of course, Tommy Smalls, Jocko Henderson, that's obvious. WSID in Baltimore was an amazing radio station in spite of the owner. And Hot Rod Hulbert. He actually came from Memphis, but Maurice Hulbert, Hot Rod Hulbert, was that's how Jocko learned to rhyme. You got people like Eddie OJ, who famous in Cleveland and in Buffalo. I think I mentioned Sir Raggedy Flag in Atlanta. But, you know, then you got some of the offbeat people like D.C. had a lot of great jocks. But people like Lord Fauntleroy Bundy on WUST, you know, or Fat Daddy Paul Johnson, or, you know, in Pittsburgh, Sir Walter. That was John Christian on Whammy. Not Whammo. Every market had them. As far as women, Chatty Hattie in Charlotte on WGIV. And also the woman who really, in many ways, was responsible for what became the entire soul format was a woman named Mary D. And she was on SID and HAT and a number of other places, moving around with Mary D. And
What city are we talking about?
Well, Baltimore and Philadelphia. But I think she was born in Pennsylvania, but a number of things. And she would have been born closer to the turn of the last century, she was no spring chicken, but Mary D, moving around with Mary D. So that, of course, Sonny Hobson, the mighty burner on HATNDAS, or Georgie Woods, the guy with the goods, or Jimmy Bishop, the guy who had Arctic Records. Of course, Frankie Crocker and Hal Jackson and all that, but Sonny Jim Kelsey everywhere and on. I mean, this could go on all night, but I think that you can find all these people if you look for them.
Where am I going to look? Because I tried last night, okay. And I didn't. I mean, I'd come up with a little of this and a little of that. But I mean, you know, I know jock scores like Rufus Thomas with WDIA,
of course,
and Shelley Pope,
right,
New Orleans,
right, the Black Pope. And, yes, absolutely. I still have bumper stickers. Yes.
But you know, you've traveled the country. I haven't. I spent my days down in Houston, Texas, and I know that market very well. But when it comes to these other places, you are the person with the knowledge base, and that's why I actually sent you an email. You probably didn't get it.
No, but I will look at it later if you did. But like I say, the stepfather of soul, I'm looking at it right now. Get on down. He's got a little blog, and you know he's got everybody from Herb Kent to Bill Kenner. He was on BEE in the '60s. George Vanette. He was on YLD in New Orleans, or Johnny Lloyd at WOOK before they lost their license. So you got a Big Bill Hill. That's going back to Chicago. That's somebody OPA. WOPA was the original Sonderling station, and they were really a dollar a holler, so you'd hear anything on this station because if anybody had the money, they were on the air. But Fat Daddy at WWIN, or even Lucky Cordell was on WVON for a while, of course, a very big name in the record industry later. Richard Pigou, and I'm sure I pronounced his name a bit wrong, but he was terrific on VON. Of course, there were butterballs in every market. So, it's just a question of finding them. Now, when you go into the 70s, I love Dr. Bop because he was on Wawa WAWA in Milwaukee. And he was hilarious. He was an old guy, actually originally from Columbus. And he got to Milwaukee, and he was a soul jock there, and just wonderful. But all the people at Whammo or Hal Brown, you know, mentioned some of the other ones. Who else? On and on the list goes, but...
Well, yeah, where can I find this list?
Let me see something. Let me just look up, let's pick any market. Atlanta, Soul Radio of the 1960s. And let's see what comes up. That's the way you do it, as far as that goes. If you don't know the names, shoot for it another way. So the first thing we find, of course, AOK. That's when, but Zena Sears bought that in the 50s. But let's see. AOK, and we've got Larry Tinsley and others. So, yeah, you got to go through it and really, really be willing to mine it as far as that.
Yeah.
I know.
I mean, I got into it a little bit, and I'm like, I'm not finding, I mean, I don't expect everything to list, you know,
well,
everybody.
Like, but you'll find it like when you go to Atlanta, you'll find WERD. And even though Zena Sears put on AOK in the 50s, he was a white guy, the first person African-American to own a station in Atlanta was WERD. And so that you can look there to see, okay, who was on the air at WERD, and you can take a look at that, and you'll come across people like Vernon Winslow, another Dr. Daddio. So on and on, you'll find it, and I'll help you as far as that goes. But what are you going to do with it?
Well, as I told you before, I've been for the past 30 years talking about doing a soul music format, which would be a radio show in the beginning for me, because I've talked about doing it. I've heard people doing different variations of soul music radio formats and shows and stuff, but I'd like to do it my way and see what happens. We've all got a niche, and we've all, you know, a lot of us think, well, I've got the right thing here. I'm pretty much of a realist, so I believe that I've had enough experience in soul radio since I grew up with it and I worked it.
Right.
That that I've got I've got this vision in my head of what this music would sound like. So it's all contingent on internet radio station I'm already on, and the operator putting it on there for me, because I don't have the money to put on an internet radio station. If you got the money to burn and you can do that, then good for you, but I can't afford it.
Well, you know, it's not costly until you get a lot of listeners. Initially, it's actually quite cheap to do, but it's time consuming.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
Yeah, you'd have to have the time for it. Like I say, I wouldn't discourage somebody because of the money. They're not going to make money from it, but until they get a lot of listeners, you can actually do it very, very cheaply, but it is time consuming.
Well, my friend who has the station, I'm already on there in the morning playing, you know, some soul and classic oldies and that kind of thing.
Give it a plug, Ben. Let's know. Give it a plug.
I'm on in the morning, Monday through Friday, 5 to 10 a.m.
And the URL
Central Time.
The URL is?
Oh, the name of the station is HoustonRadioPlatinum.com. HoustonRadioPlatinum.com. And I'm on 5 to 10 a.m.
playing Houston's
Central
Classic Hits.
Standard.
All right.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
And if you look at that website, the owner of the station did a little slideshow of me over the years.
Yeah.
A bunch of photos and stuff, which is kind of fun. And but what I'm trying to get him to do is to put on, you give me 6 hours sometime on the weekend to put this show on and see what happens.
Right.
I've got the music all done. Everything's done. It's a lot of music. It's produced well with a little of me and some history. And that's what brought me to this question about legendary DJs of soul radio, because I'd like to mention some of these legends throughout a program, and
well,
I don't have the information.
And there's a ton of people. Like I say, I'd include the early 70s, because guys who were big then, in addition to Dr. Bop, in I loved St. Louis, Dr. Jockenstein, and he was a wonderful guy named Rod King. But you know, Gentleman Jim Gates, and you had a lot of people on St. Louis radio that you normally wouldn't think of. Donnie Soulfinger Brooks. So how about that?
What was the big station in St. Louis?
KATZ
on 1600?
Yeah, it's in East St. Louis, yeah, but it's KATZ, yes. It's the East St. Louis license. But sure. So, you know, you got to include Soulfinger, Donnie Brooks. So the list is almost...
What was his name again?
Donnie Brooks Soulfinger. And
don't I have an album of his? It's got a collection of a bunch of soul music's greatest hits. It's a two-set album.
I don't know.
The same guy?
Very possible. He was at BBR initially and then moved to Katz. I guess BBR was East St. Louis, and I guess Katz was actually a St. Louis license, but most of the stuff happened in East St. Louis. But hang on a minute. Don't go away, because Jimmy P. wants to add to our list, so maybe we're going to get some people I'm not thinking about, so don't go away.
We need help.
Yes, we do. All right, so let's look at this. I'll put Johnny on hold. And Jimmy P., all right, who are you adding to the list?
Yeah, well, you two, a couple of names, Lucky Cardell and Richard Pegee.
Right.
It's Pegee. Rick Ricardo.
Oh, Rick Ricardo, of course.
Richard Stams.
Right.
And how can we forget Jam with Sam Evans?
Yeah, Sam Evans. Yeah, right. And those are, you know, some of the legendary VON people. But trying to go back before that, because
I don't remember too much before that, because I grew up with Jam with Sam, Richard Pegee, and all, you know, Al Benson.
Right. Well, Al Benson was everywhere, just like Daddy O'Daly.
Daddy O'Daly, that big Bill Hill.
Right.
I remember him.
On OPA, of course.
Yeah, and if I think of anybody else, but those were the main dudes that I listened to growing up.
Good deal. I'm glad you called, and thanks again for your six-pack. We managed to play them all.
Thanks for playing them.
Absolutely.
I couldn't think of Lucky Cardell's name. I'm thinking I couldn't get it. For some reason, I was thinking of the song, It's Twine Time.
Oh, yeah, Alvin Cash and the Crawlers.
Yeah, I don't know if that was his theme song or what. But anyhow, okay, thanks a lot
for calling. Good
okay.
deal. All right, so back to anybody else looking who's going to give us any information? I don't think so. Let's say goodbye to Jimmy P. and go back to Johnny in Austin. All right, so, yeah, I'm pretty sure if you spend enough time online, you'll hit all of them.
Well, how long is it going to take?
How long do you have? But
well, in a perfect world, there would be a good listing of all this, and a lot of it is right there in your head.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, some of it is, but there's a number of things. And again, you know, it depends how much into the 70s you're willing to go, like a gentleman Jim Gates or Eddie B. Anderson. These are people in St. Louis, since we were talking about, and again, Dr. Jochenstein, who I loved.
The years do not really matter.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean,
right.
But I just, there's so many markets that had so many of these legendary soul jocks that I don't know who they were or what stations they were on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm really limited there. And I would like to, throughout this show, make it kind of a little, not a big thing, but a little feature to just mention some of these jocks as I play this music.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, nobody else is doing it that I know of.
Well, true enough. No, I think it's great. Well, I will continue to look for more. But the other thing, you know, I mean, this is if you really have the time, you can always go to worldradiohistory.com and look in the old trade magazines, you know, from the 60s or whatever.
World Radio History.
Yeah, that's David Gleason's site. That's the repository of everything. Every Billboard magazine, every broadcasting yearbook, everything is at this site.
Well, you know, Walt Baby Love is a friend of mine. He probably knows a lot of
sure.
this because he wrote for R&R for a long time.
Sure. Now, again, that's going to be later, you know,
yeah,
and also a lot of West Coast. But that can be good because, you know, San Francisco, you had some great stuff there. So, hell, Sly Stone, you know, among others. So
Was he a jock?
Absolutely.
I didn't know it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So
was he good? Was he good?
Not bad. You know, that was like he was on KSOL in the mid '60s.
What about?
I'm sure
Stevie
you can find
Wonder's.
I'm sure you can find. Oh, KJLH. I laugh when I think of that. KJLH in the '60s had nothing to do with Stevie Wonder, of course. It was owned by a black funeral director in Long Beach, a guy named John Lamar Hill. And so Stevie always claimed it stood for kindness, joy, love, and happiness. No, it stands for John Lamar Hill. But anyway, John Lamar Hill got this idea that he was going to, because, you know, with the FCC, you can make minor modifications. So he was going to walk his Long Beach station to Los Angeles, one little move at a time. And he got away with a few of them until he got to Compton. And after that, the FCC got wind of it and said, stay there. And so that's why that's why KJLH is in Compton, but originally a Long Beach station. And Stevie bought it. But the guy from Milwaukee, Willie Davis, owned what became KACE.
He owned KYOK for a while.
That's exactly right. Same guy. Well, he had KACE and ACEs back-to-back in Los Angeles, and there were some great jocks on KACE. So, you know, that, again, you're talking the 70s, but, you know.
Well, heck, even San Antonio, Texas had an all-soul station.
Yeah.
It was a daytimer, but it was called, what was it? Help me. K-A-P-E. Cape.
Yeah. Okay.
It was 1480 AM. Yeah.
Yeah. And, but the thing about, San Antonio though, and God, I loved it, was that their Chicano sound, the Brown sound, was really, really good there. You know, it wasn't.
Oh, it was incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a guy, Abe Epstein owned, I don't know if he owned a delicatessen or if he owned a clothing store, but Abe owned something. But anyway, in the back, he had a little recording studio. Now, the good news is that Abe loved the music, knew the right music and all that. The bad news was the quality is so bad you want to go back and kill people. But it was everything. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are. All right. And that's exactly where we'll pick it up on WGN Radio.
Last year, summer's love usually dies away.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. There's Johnny's first request, The Stylistics, Just Like We Never Say Goodbye. That actually was also a B-side on a UK single that came out in 1979. And I'm trying to think what the A-side was right now. But in any event, it was. And so now he's heard it. All right. So, Johnny, I was just thinking during the break. In 1965, you were certainly square right in the center of a Houston soul radio. Did you go to the National Association of Radio Announcers Convention?
No, but that started about that time.
It was August 4th through the 8th of 65, and Del Shields was there. And remember, the reason I remember it is the Royalettes performed.
Where was this held?
In Houston.
Really?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Do you remember? I started at KYOK
in
Houston.
Yeah, it was August 4th through 8th.
I started there on Thanksgiving Day.
All right, well,
of 1965.
A little after that, then. But it's interesting because when you look at NARA, which was NARA back then it became NATRA, the National Association of Television and Radio Announcers. But when it was NARA, they always talk about their first convention being at the Waldorf Astoria in New York in 1966. And I'm like, wait a minute, you forgot about a year here. So, yeah, it was Jockey Jack who put that organization together, and it was an organization for African-American radio announcers. So,
well, I know all about it. Yeah.
You have to do. You have to go back and look for the articles, and I'll help you do it as far as that goes, but because you'll see the coverage of the convention and you'll start to see some names. You know, obviously you're going to see Del Shields all over the place because he was, you know, their executive vice president.
I don't know that name.
He was on DAS in Philly, but Naris, elected to the local chapter's board of governors of the, let's see, that's Naris.
I think Novella Smith, my friend Novella Smith,
yes,
out of Memphis, was part of that.
All right, NARA Confab begins August 4th. The annual convention of the National Association of Radio Announcers gets underway this Wednesday at the Rice Hotel. Among the labels sponsoring the events for the five-day convention are Scepter, RCA Victor, Duke, Peacock, VJ, Constellation, MGM, Jubilee, Josie, Port, Atlantic Chess, and Capital. Officers to be installed Sunday night. A Friday night show will feature the Bobby Bland Review, the Junior Parker Review, the Joe Hinton Review, Jerry Butler, and Benny Everett, among others.
It sounds like Don Robey was running the whole
thing. Well, obviously. Well, come on. It's 1965. It's Houston. Who else would be running the whole thing? You know, so
you know, I never met Don Robey, but I talked to him many times, and it was nice if he liked you.
Well, right, and it was really good if you were on his label and didn't really want any royalties. So, you know.
Well, yeah, it was really funny too, and I didn't do this just because I knew Don Robey or knew the people that worked for him there at the record company in Houston, but. We all had theme songs back in those days, and mine, I picked it because I liked it. wasn't a hit, but it was by a guy who had a hit. His name was James Booker.
Right, of course.
And my theme,
Gonzo.
My theme
Gonzo.
Song, my theme. Yeah, that wasn't my theme song.
No.
It was another James Booker song called Big Nick.
Okay.
You ever heard it?
Yes. All right. Good enough.
It was pretty cool. I mean, nobody else used it. And I remember Don Roby sent a box of about 50 of them over to me to give away on the air. But I picked that as a theme song, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
It was different.
Yeah.
It was different. But it wasn't a hit.
No, it didn't have to be. But, yeah. But it was at the 63 NARA convention that Berry Gordy discovered Brenda Holloway. Things like that. So you can go back and find reports of these conventions, and you're going to see some jock names on them.
Oh, that's going to...
Yes, this takes time. How do you think I do this stuff? I take the time, you know.
Well, no, at the same time, I'm trying to put together a radio show.
Well,
but,
so what? Come on, I'm running them. Not, you know, so for God's sake.
Give me some of the markets to look at. So we're talking about,
well, all of them.
Of course, Chicago.
Well, obviously Chicago, but St. Louis is one people don't normally think about. Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, D.C., of course, and Baltimore, as I mentioned. And
there's a lot in the South.
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, here's one thing. You worked for the OK Group. In fact, John came in during the news and said, well, tell him about the OK Group. I said, I don't have to. He worked for them. So, you know.
Well, yeah, but I was in Houston all the time, and I was a kid. I wasn't traveling much.
Well,
I was still in school.
Well, didn't you go? You never read the memos or anything? I mean, you know, the Home Office and all that kind of stuff, all the Baton Rouge stuff.
They didn't really communicate a lot of that to us.
No,
they probably
didn't, but it's a question.
I worked at KYOK two times.
Yeah.
I worked there in 65, 66, and I returned in 71, 2, 3, and 4.
Mm.
And it was, you know, different buildings and all that stuff. But, yeah, let me ask you this. You have a lot of listeners out there who obviously know their favorite soul jocks of the time and what city they were in and everything. I have an alias email. Could I give that to you if someone wanted to email me some of these names and stations and cities? Could I do that?
Oh, absolutely. Let me get a piece of paper so I will have it as well. All right, go for it.
I have a great email provider called StartMail.
Okay.
And they're out of the Netherlands, and I just set up a name to use for anybody to contact me about any of these famous soul DJs of the, heck, it'd be 50s, 60s, 70s. I don't care. I just want to educate myself as to who they were, where they were, in what city, and hopefully the stations they were on. Okay.
Yeah. Now, by the way, you can also, I'll get this in a minute because I do want to get it, but you can also look for the old surveys that are online, because almost on all these stations, like WVON, they put the name of every one of their jocks on it.
Well, that's a, there you go, and there's a lot of, that's a great one right there.
You know,
but, some of these guys were really superstars. They really were.
Well, absolutely.
And ladies, too. I think there was some lady in Oklahoma City called Lady Cool Breeze or something like that.
There's a number. But, you know, going to VON, E.E. Rodney Jones, he was around forever. And, you know, even Don Cornelius was on WVON as a disc jockey. So,
well, WVON was a legend.
Well, because it was owned by Chess. Now, they also, the next year, bought WNOV, or what became WNOV, in Milwaukee. So you've got a list there, too. What is the email address?
Okay, now this is provided by a company called StartMail.com. They're out of the Netherlands, and they, when you have an account with them, you can set up any address you want. So if you got the patience, here it is. I just set up this email address. It's soulradiodj@use.startmail.com. That's soulradiodj at use.startmail.com.
I will go ahead and put that on Raleigh.net as well. And so hang on a minute, because Wesley wants to join in. He remembers everybody who was ever on BON, so don't go away. All right, so we'll pick it up right there. Now let me see if we can put Johnny on hold, not lose him, and say hi to Wesley. Wesley, how's it going?
How you doing, Wally?
All right.
I was listening to your conversation, and I wanted to give the man the daily soul list of WBON disc jockeys.
Okay.
In the morning, from 5 to 9, they had Joe Cobb.
Okay, right, Joe Cobb. Right, I remember that.
E. Rodney Jones came on at 9 to 12.
Right.
Bill Butterball Crane was from 12 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Johnson came in at 3, and he was also, Don Cornelius also had that time slot before he went to Soul Train.
Right.
And that was from 3 to 7. Mm-hmm. Irv Kent came in at 7.
Yeah.
He went from 7 to 12.
Right.
And at 7 to 11, I'm sorry.
Yep.
And from 11 to 12 was Wesley South, the original talk show host.
Right, exactly. They all did that. Yeah, 1 hour of talk. Yep.
And on Saturdays and Sundays, from 12 to 5 in the morning, it was Richard Pegue.
Yeah, Richard Pegue. He was pretty amazing. Now, who was doing overnights on the weekdays? Do you remember?
On the weekdays, they had Purvis Spann, the blues man.
Right. That was it. I knew. Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
He did the weeknights.
Yeah.
And Rich Pegue took over for Saturday and Sunday nights.
Yeah. Good deal. All right. Thanks for adding to the list.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Okay. So there you go. And like I we'll say goodbye to Wesley and back hello again to Johnny. Like I say, you'll find all the old surveys, and almost all of them list the jocks.
Of course, yeah, that's a great idea. But we're talking about a lot of people here.
You'll decide which ones mean something to you, as far as that goes, some of them will mean a lot more than others.
And who is this person that posts a lot of these air checks of
the stepfather of soul? Just write stepfather.
That's what he's called.
Yeah, stepfather of soul, and it's going to go to stepfatherofsoul.blogspot.com, and get on down with the stepfather of soul. I don't think he's updated it in years, but it's still there.
And he mentions all these jocks and stuff.
Yeah, he's got the air checks.
Oh, has he posted these on YouTube at all?
Well, yeah. You can click on them.
Really?
You can click on them and hear them. Like if you want to hear KTZ, or you want to go earlier and hear Big Bill Hill on OPA, or Herb Kent, he probably has the same GG Hill air check from KCOH that you have, 1970.
Well, you know what? That air check is all over the place.
Right,
and
it came
from me. I'm the one that made the air check.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. But like Purvis Spann on VOM or any of that. So yeah. And then they've got a WAOK tape from 1971. So yeah. And you've got a lot of archives on his little blog spot. So you can check out a lot more of them. So yeah, the stepfather of soul. He's there with all sort of stuff. So yeah, this is easier to find than you realize. It's very time consuming, but it's not arcane. It's not something you won't find. You will find it if you're looking.
Well, I'm trying to put this format together. The music's all done.
Yeah.
The operator of this radio station has just got to get it in the system and get all the sweepers and all that stuff in there to make it sound good, and hopefully it will. But it was you know what it's like trying to build a music library on a computer?
Well, actually, I'd like to say I know what it's like, but I just took 3,500 things that were on 8 tracks in my car and threw them on KJ. I've always meant to do more than that, but that's all it is.
Wow. Well, I tell you, you've done a great job.
No, it's,
I had my experience in there sitting in a studio in an internet radio station, putting intro times on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of songs.
Yeah, it's easy.
yeah.
It is.
Too bad you weren't there to help.
Right. Well, you know, again, it just takes time. Like when I listen to KJ, I grit my teeth every time because there's so much I hear that I'd like to change. It's like, yeah, well, maybe while I'm still alive. I joke about my callback list that the only way to get off of it is you have to die. And sadly, I found out today that one of my good friends who I hadn't talked to in years, Jerry Wood, in fact, he's the good reason I was at Billboard, he died. And he's sitting there on my callback list with the phone number and all that. I said, oh, God, here's another one. So I'm going to have to be better at calling back people I like.
Yeah, and the check your email. I sent you a detailed email.
Okay.
And, it's great to talk to you. It's great to have you, you know, be in touch with your listeners. And I will, when this program gets launched, and I hope it does,
yeah,
I will call you and let you know how and where to hear it.
Excellent. And we'll plug that because I just can't wait to hear it.
Well, I can't wait to get it done.
It's
been a lot of work, but if it gets set into motion like it's supposed to, it'll be good.
Yeah, I know. Listening to the finished product is always the best part. Call me again soon. Thank you.
Have a great night, Raleigh,
you
and
too.
Your listeners too.
All right. Okay. Good deal. So soulradiodj@use.startmail.com, and I will have a link right on raleigh.net to that in case you have forgotten it. Because you might be listening and saying you don't want to call, but maybe you remember somebody who's, hey, I remember back in Kansas City. And I, yeah, well, tell us about it. All right, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Oh, when I was a very small boy.
Just a small boy.
I looked through the cornfields and wondered,
oh, I wonder
if every man had his own piece of land so he'd never know hunger. Oh, but time quickly rolled along.
Yes, indeed, now.
I grew up and I left home. Lord knows I'm sorry I ever left. I see people starving to death, but you won't ease it, my son. It's what my daddy said to me. He said, you be a man and you learn all you can. And I declare someday you'll be free. Oh, I remember one rainy day back home.
I remember
Sally Brown's house burned down.
Yes, it did.
And everybody had to lend a helping hand. Folks came from miles around. They didn't do this expecting something in return. They simply did it because they cared. And these were the kind of folk, if they had anything at all, well, they were more than willing to share. And Daddy said, you walk easy, boy.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That was another one of Johnny's requests, and I'll tell you what, one of my favorites too, 1971 on Mercury. Oh yes, Gerald Sims produced it, as you can guess. I think Chuck Jackson might have written it. All right, so a fine song all the way around. Now, before we get to Jim's update and such, we got a couple of folks wanting to weigh in on more jock names, and I want to take those down. I think that Johnny's still listening, but if not, I'll pass them along. So Marjorie in Chicago, thanks for calling WGN.
Oh, you're welcome, and thank you for taking my call.
So, give me the names.
All right. Well, when Purvis Spann more or less retired before he passed,
right,
from doing the late night Purvis Spann, the Blues Man, Wayne Fields took his place.
Okay,
so
good.
They called him Crazy Wayne,
yeah,
and his program was called The B-Side.
Good.
And it was a program of playing oldies but goodies, from 12 a.m. to around 6 a.m.
All right.
And then after Crazy Wayne Fields passed away, a man named Dr. Al Greer took his place.
Okay.
And he was in that same time slot.
Good.
Then his time slot changed a little to maybe 12 a.m. to 3 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And some other programming came on after 3 a.m., or either they just repeated from 3 a.m.
Yeah.
to 6 a.m.
Yeah.
the same program that he played from 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. live.
Yeah, a lot of that going on.
And then Dr. Al Greer stopped that programming, which was still the B-side.
Okay.
And some other programming has come on, but it's not music.
Right.
Okay. And so also, the man that called in, I think he said his name was Wesley?
Yes.
He was very good with what he gave.
Yeah.
The information. So he pretty much covered it. Now, when you mentioned Mary D.
Yes.
There was a Mary D. in Chicago known as Mary D. the Honeybee.
Yeah, I do not think it's the same woman.
Okay, maybe a different one. And she was on radio. I can't think of a different... Well, you did mention WB.
Yeah, I think...
She may have actually been on it.
Yeah, she was Mary D. It was M-E-R-R-I, I think.
Yeah, that's the one in Chicago. She was M-E-R-R-I-D-E.
Yeah, right. Right, yes.
Mary B. the Honeybee. And then she went to television as well. She was on WGN-TV.
Right, absolutely. And she only died about 3 years ago now.
Yes, yes, she did.
Yeah. Yeah, no, not the same woman, but Mary D. was had quite the career as well.
Okay. And then now in Chicago, let me see, that pretty much covered it. Let me just double check because I was writing quick with
what
he gave. Okay, so you gave pretty much the rundown of who the good guys were.
Yep.
Okay. And... okay, so WVON is now being run by Purvis Spann's daughter because Purvis Spann and E. Rodney Jones bought it from the Chess Brothers. So if the man is still listening, if he can contact Melody Spann.
Yeah, she may have some history, too. You know, that's a good idea, right?
At Midway Broadcasting Company, that's the name of the parent company, Midway Broadcasting Company, Melody Spann. She runs WVON and another radio station, WRLL, which is a Hispanic-speaking station on their old dial.
The 1450, right, the 1450, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what WRLL, the Spanish-speaking station, is on. Now, in only certain hours, I can't think of the certain hours, but the day hours, whereas WVON has now moved from 1450 to 1690 on the AM dial.
Right, the extended band.
And he can go to their website, WVON.com.
Yeah.
And there should be information there for him. And, okay, now, not in Chicago, but out east. They made a movie about the man. I can't think of his full name, the proper name, but it's something like Petey.
No, you're talking about the guy at WOL. It's not true, unfortunately. WOL was a great, great station, but Petey Green actually was more like an intern. We all kind of laughed at that movie because he wasn't a big deal. But WOL was a big deal as far as a radio station. So absolutely, and I mentioned some of the jocks that have been there. But yeah, no, Petey wouldn't be one of them.
Okay. Thank you for that. And also going back to WVON.
Yep.
On Saturday nights now, because Purvis Spann, the blues man, who when Crazy Wayne and then Dr. Al Greer followed taking his place, that was Monday through Friday, midnight to 6 a.m. Okay, so now on Saturdays at midnight, starting at 11 p.m. on Saturdays going into the wee hours of Sunday morning is Sir Henry Cheatham.
Ooh, okay.
He plays blues.
Okay.
Sir Henry Cheatham. Yeah, he's the blues man.
Good for him.
Currently on WVON on Saturday nights, going into early Sunday mornings. Now, the Chicago Blues Festival is starting Thursday, June 5th, going through Sunday, June 8th.
Wow.
And there's a theater in Bridgeport on 35th and Halsted that they redid. They, I think it was the singer Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, yeah.
And the rap artist Common together went in and they renovated that theater in Bridgeport. I can't think of the name of it. It's on the tip of my tongue. And WVON is running commercials for it with, so the man that comes on from 12 noon to 3 p.m., Matt McGill.
Yeah, okay, is that the Romova Theater in Bridgeport?
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Matt McGill is doing commercials running now on WVON, and he's the talk show host on WVON from 12 noon to 3 p.m.
Yeah.
He's going to be doing the opening of the Blues Festival at that Romova Theater on Thursday, June 5th.
Good.
And he mentions that Bobby Blue Bland.
Yeah.
It's one of the opening acts and some others. And I know it's going to end up in Chicago's Millennium Park.
Uh-huh.
Either Grant Park. I'm not sure if it's the Petrillo Band Shell in Grant Park, which is like the same park area, but like further south in the park, it's still being called Grant Park.
Uh-huh.
Where the Petrillo Band Shell is. And then if you go further north on that same land, but just go further north, it's then known as Millennium Park. And then it has a band shell as well. So I'm not sure. Oh, forgive me, I should know. It's going to end Sunday, June 8th there with, oh my goodness, what's the family? The Staples Singers, Mavis Staples.
Right, Mavis Staples, absolutely.
Yeah, she'll be one of the singers at the Blues Festival ending that Sunday, June 8th.
Yeah.
So if he could go to, I'm not sure how the City of Chicago has it on their website, but just type in City of Chicago's Blues Fest.
Sure.
Thursday, June 5th through Sunday, June 8th. Different names should come up, and those people, you know, if he can get in contact with those artists or just get the lineup, they should be able to be of help as to who the different DJs were. But WVON definitely can help him.
That's terrific. Thank you so much for calling.
And thank you for your programming.
Well, okay, it's great to have you.
And keep listening, and I'll keep listening. And thank you.
Thanks so much. Call me again.
You're welcome.
All right. Good deal. How nice. And yeah, I was just looking at the lineup, and Thursday at the Remova, they're starting with a Living Blues panel. And in fact, there's a conversation with Bobby Rush, which should be interesting. And double bill concert, Billy Branch and the Sons of the Blues and Bobby Rush. So it's going to be a lot of fun. It could be Mavis Staples and Kingfish and B.B. King. And there's actually a tribute to Denise LaSalle as well coming up. And Willie Dixon. Gotta love that. And Lattimore and so much more. So that's great, and it's coming up soon. All right, wish I could be there. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Ooh, we're going to get more names, but it looks like they left me. Well, that's all right. I appreciate you listening, and I'll pass everything on to Johnny. And, of course, soulradiodj@use.startmail.com, and I'll put a link on raleigh.net. Because, yeah, it'd be nice for some of these people to be remembered, especially those who are no longer, you know, top of mind. Because, you know, there's always standout stars, but there were a lot of, shall we just say, working class jocks that were terrific. Yeah, like I say, a day when the jocks rapped and the music didn't. All right, so we will get back to it, but Jim in Richmond's been waiting with an update. So, Jim, did you see your sister?
I saw my sister, but a lot of things happened today, and some of it wasn't good.
Well, hopefully some of it was.
Well, first we started out driving to Skokie to see the
retina guy?
No, that was the second trip.
Okay.
To see the glaucoma specialist.
The glaucoma guy, okay.
And then, you know how your car makes a noise, you take it in, and all of a sudden it doesn't make any noise? Well, my right eye, for the last 4 days until today, I could put my hand in front of my face with my right eye, and I couldn't see my hand.
Yeah, but today you could.
And right.
Yeah.
And I woke up this morning, and I'm going to find out what's wrong with that. I put my hand up, and I go, damn, it's right there.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly. So, that's always the way. I don't know what it is in terms of the universe, but it's always the way.
Right. So we get in. I finally got to see the doctor because both doctors were behind.
Uh-huh.
And we got in, and then they take my pressure, and my pressure in my good eye was 9.
Good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the pressure in my right eye was 36.
Ooh, not good.
And the doctor finally got to see the doctor, and he goes, what's going on? 36.
Yeah.
And then he retook it himself with them. You know, they used that tougher machine. But
sure.
He retook it with the big machine, and he goes, yeah, it's 36. And then he went in and looked at it, and he goes, well, your tube that's at the top of your eye is sticking out, and if you put that, won't cause the pressure to go up. And he goes, are you using the drops? And I go, yeah.
Of course.
I'm using them all the time. But
yeah.
He says, well, are you getting them in your eye?
Yes.
And then I sat there after, you know, thinking, well, when you can't see the hand in front of your face, you can't see the bottle when you're squeezing it in. And, you know, maybe I wasn't.
Well, you can you can usually feel it, though. You know, when you miss, it kind of goes down your cheek.
Right. But this eye, I don't. Sometimes I put the drops in, I don't even feel them in this eye because, like I said, it's so messed up.
Yeah.
So anyways, he put drops in it, and he says, we're going to have to go in with a laser, and then we're going to have to do that. And I said, we don't have to go back to Illinois Masonic, you know, way next to down by Wrigley Field. He says, oh, no, there's a new place on Toohey Avenue, because his office is in Old Orchard.
Uh-huh.
He says, there's a new surgery place on Toohey Avenue in Lincolnwood.
Okay.
We could do it there. So I go, oh, good, because I wasn't going to drive the 101 miles down to Illinois Masonic.
Right, right,
so
sure.
So then after there, we went to visit my sister. And we had to find a place because it was behind Lutheran General. And we found it. We walked in. I did not even recognize her, even though my eye was still blurry, you know, that day. I didn't recognize her. Her face was huge.
Aww.
And she used to be this skinny little woman.
Yeah. Her,
my brother goes up and grabs her arm. And he goes, what the hell is this? And her arms were huge. And she goes, what are you complaining about? Look at my legs. They're tree trunks.
Uh-oh.
And I was sitting here while I was waiting to talk to you. Well, I haven't seen her for over a year because I don't go in, you know. I can't drive there.
Right.
And I remember her legs were so like pencils, you know.
Yeah.
We used to tease her about them when she was wearing shorts. And she can't walk. And she was having therapy that day. But we had a really good conversation, and she doesn't get along with my brother, who drives me, very well. But he was even saying, oh, it was so great to see her. Oh, it was so great
good.
To see her. So went well.
It sounds like that she's retaining water for some reason, and that could easily be related to the heart condition.
Right, and then she told us, we asked how it happened and everything. She goes, I don't know. I was laying on the floor calling for help.
Right.
And then she goes, my blood pressure was 239.
Oh, good God.
Right. And so, and my brother, who's dealing with all this water stuff with his wife, you know, was trying to say, you need water pills. You need water pills. And she's not speaking in the voice that we always know her from.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, they ain't working, you know. So then we drive over to the retina specialist, and he was way behind. We waited over an hour and a half to go see him.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother talks to the youngest brother, who's being the health advocate for my sister.
Right.
And then we said, well, we went there and everything, and she was this and that. And he goes, well, I've been on the phone all day. So what do you mean? Medicare wants her out.
Okay.
She's been in there too long, and I overheard because he was four or five chairs away from me.
Uh-huh.
And then he's going, them and United Healthcare or something, and my brother's yelling at them, she can't walk, she can't, you know, she's, you know, so bloated and everything and all that. And then I didn't hear all of the conversation, but I can't believe that they want her out.
Well, sure, you know. Sure. It's like a cookbook. They have their formula, and they're not looking at her as an individual. They're looking at the stats and saying, time to go. And that's why glad your younger brother is protesting that.
Oh, yeah. He's been fighting with everybody, you know.
Well.
And then we went to see the retina specialist, and they go and they take the pressure, and after he put those drops in, it was still 33 in that eye. So then we had to wait a long time, and then finally got to see the retina guy. And he comes running in. Okay, here we're going to, you know, and they took pictures of the eyes. They didn't dilate me this time. I was so happy.
Good.
He said, the swelling is down. There's no swelling in the eye, you know, the good eye. And I'm going, oh, that's great.
Yes.
And he says, but we're still going to give you a steroid. And so I said, okay. Then I said, told him the story about my right eye. And then he went to make a second opinion. And then he wrote his opinion and sent it over to the first doctor.
Okay.
So, and he's agreeing that it has to have surgery. So now it's up to the two doctors to figure out. They just talk to each other if they do.
All right.
And then he's going to call me when to have the surgery, you know.
Well, all right.
And I've had it before.
All right. It doesn't sound like a terribly bad day, and you did get to see your sister. But hopefully your younger brother can, in fact, work a miracle and keep her in the hospital for a little while longer.
Right. And then I was going to call you real early, and I didn't get a chance because Mom would have turned on the 28th, 101.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So tonight, after what was going on, I decided to watch the Gilmore Girls.
Absolutely.
I didn't call you. Yeah.
No, that's fine. You did now. Thanks for the report. We'll talk to you soon. Keep me posted.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. All right,
okay.
So there you have it. So, mixed report from Jim. All right, we've got Ruth, we've got Karen, we've got David, and hopefully you as we continue on WGN Radio.
Baubles, bangles, hear how they ring, jingling-a-ling, the baubles, bangles, bright, shiny beads, sparkles, spangles. Her heart will ring, jing-a-ling-a-ling, wearing baubles, bangles, and beads. She'll glitter and gleam, so make somebody dream, so that someday I may buy her a ring, jing-a-ling-a-ling. I've heard that's where it leads when you're wearing baubles, bangles, bright, shiny beads. Bop, 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 bop.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's a request from last night. And, of course, I wrote that. I think it was Jack who wanted that. I hope so, anyway. But, yeah, Kirby Stone 4 did the original of that in 1958. And then, about 15 years later or so, Amir Deodato had it on his 2001 album, a beautiful instrumental of that. Yeah, I improved the Kirby Stone 4 all the way to hell and back. Stone 4. Much better. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we have a request from David in Winthrop Harbor. What is it, David?
Hello, Raleigh.
Yeah.
Thank you. I got a few things to say, though, right quick. This should be fun. I want to give a hats off to you for mentioning Donovan last week. Hey, Jip,
uh-huh.
The slowness. So I'm a spring chicken, okay? I grew up on that kind of 60s folk, you know, the stuff you don't like.
Right.
However, we can make this work. Now, I'm going to go back into, we're talking about DJs, right? So I grew up in Chicago listening to The Loop, Kevin Matthews, Jimmy Short. Do you know these characters?
Well, I certainly Jim know Short. Who they are because at the time
Jim
they were...
Short was it
yeah. Real? At the time they all were on the air, I was radio editor for Billboard, so their names would cross my desk and their promotions. They'd mail me things, and I can't tell you how many Loop T-shirts I have.
And Johnny B.
Of course.
Coho Lit. So that's kind of my era.
Uh-huh.
And then, however, my parents are old. not to blame them, but to thank them. But I grew up on some of the older school music, so I'm kind of, I span the range from, the Carter Family to Judas Priest.
Right.
So imagine that.
Well, why not? Why not? Well, my all-time favorite morning man is from Chicago, probably before you were alive, but Dan Sorkin on WCFL before they were top 40. Loved him.
Okay, now, I got a question.
Yeah.
So I had a request.
Okay.
I do want to make a call out, too, for the person that called about the Blues Fest in Chicago. It's wonderful. It's amazing.
Okay.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's a wonderful thing.
So what's the request?
The request is I've got three, but you got to choose. So Johnny Cash, old school Johnny Cash.
Which one?
Okay, this is your pick.
Oh, okay.
Hey Porter, Cry, 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 or The Wreck of Old 97.
All right, I will. I'll pick.
I'll throw it up to that. Appreciate you.
All right, good deal. Thanks for calling. All right. We'll get one of them on tomorrow night, I promise.
Appreciate you.
All right, good deal. So sure. Early Johnny Cash, why not? Yeah, going back to the Sunday as well, maybe. All right, so Karen in Chicago's got more DJ names. Let me hear them.
Hi, I'll make it quick. I only have one, and I believe he was on WBLN. This was in the early 2000s.
Oh.
It would be Doug Banks.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Well, he was national. He was syndicated.
I like him so much. He's already on my all-time favorites list. I'm so sorry when he died.
Yeah, only 57 years old. He was very young. He had been fighting diabetes for quite some time. But, yeah, he was national, just like Tom Joyner. They syndicated that show.
I never knew that. We used to listen to him in the office every morning. And there were a whole bunch of us, big fans of him. And my request is As We Lay by Shirley Murdock.
Oh, okay. Haven't heard that in a while.
Oh, I love that.
Okay.
I love it. So thank you so much, and hang up, make room for the next person.
Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
And thank you.
All right.
Take care.
So, all right. Yeah, Doug, it is terrible that, you know, like I say, he was so young. And he was doing mornings on BLS, and then ABC was syndicating him. So, all right, so let's see what we've got with Ruth. Ruth is in Gurnee, if she's still with us. Are you still with us, Ruth? No, Ruth went to sleep. It was the same thing to do all the way around. All right, if you want the final word, it's coming up. We've got about 15 minutes to talk about whatever is on your mind. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
She's got a style, she's got a grace. I would do anything just to be in your place. You're my best friend, you know that I would do you no wrong. There's a moon out tonight, and I don't wanna be alone. She have a fit for me. We could try.
Gino's, maybe day and a show. We could come back to my place where the lights are now low. I know love is a gamble. Got my eyes open wide. Spin my heart like a wheel. I feel look at the night.
Ask her, ask her. Does she have a friend for me? Does she, does she have a friend for me?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That was the third of Johnny from Austin's requests. And does she have a friend? Gene Chandler on Shy Sound, 1980. All right, so 888-876-5593. Jimmy P. on the South Side. What's up?
Hey, Riley, we're talking about Herb Kent, and he always used to play a song called The Roach.
Yeah.
Was that, who sang that?
Gene and Wendell.
Gene and Wendell.
I can actually play that for you here.
It's been a while. You know, he'd always played a song, and I'm wondering, is that a real song?
Oh, it's a real song. Here it is. Sounds like you remember it.
Oh, God, brings back a lot of memories. What year was that about?
61. It was Eugene Washington and Wendell Jones, and they were Gene and Wendell, and they were on a little label that a woman in L.A., Starla Ray, owned. It was called Ray Star Records, and that was the only thing they ever did on it. They had one thing on Specialty in the 50s, and then in 62 they had something on Philips, but there's actually a couple things on Philips. There's not a lot of Gene and Wendell records.
And there's one more thing. If you ever, I think the Shepherd sang a song called Mother's Son.
Oh, yeah.
That ring a bell?
Yeah.
If you ever get a chance, could you play it?
Yeah, I'm writing your name down so I'll remember when I play it. Who is it?
Mother's Son. What? I think it goes.
Yeah. All right. I'll do it tomorrow night. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate
Alan.
It. All right, so I've got between now and tomorrow night to find it. Of course, I change studios again tomorrow, so if I find it on this computer, the question is it on that one? They're not mirrored, but we'll see. I can do that. So if you want the final word, you've got 6 minutes to have it. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And if you were wondering on this 21st of May, it was National Memo Day. I don't even want to think about how you're going to celebrate or did. National Strawberries and Cream, because as we mentioned, this is National Strawberries Month, so we got to get something all the time on that. National Waitstaff Day, American Red Cross Founders Day, Talk Like a Yoda Day. All right, so I guess tomorrow we'll have Vanilla Pudding Day, National Taffy Day, Lucky Penny Day, and National Solitaire Day. I just cannot wait. All right, so trying to see what else I needed to tell you. Oh, I know. We always asked about the new moon and the full moon. The new moon is Monday night, just before I'm on the air, 10:02 p.m. Central Monday night. So if you write those abundance checks, that would be the time to do it, Monday night. And then the full moon is Wednesday, June 11th, in case you were wanting to bay it at 2:43 in the morning. But for the new moon, I have no idea if the prosperity checks work or not. Obviously, they're not real checks, but many people swear by it. And so why not? So we try to do that. Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's anything of interest to close with. And right. Exactly. And nothing's coming to mind is the truth here. So let's see. John just gave me a memo. All right, for National Memo Day. All right, so very nice, much appreciated. So I don't know how else you want to celebrate, but there you have it. So trying to see if we got anything. I know. We'll have to have her on again. I got the new book from Charlene Wexler, We Won't Go Back. And I really liked it because she's a great writer, and it's all Chicago based. And what I love of it, it tells a story, and she brings the characters to life. This one, I looked at this and I thought, this is a little dicey because we stay away from politics on the show, and there's a political backdrop in this story. But to her credit, she ultimately weaves both sides in. And if you, like me, are just looking for the soap opera-esque story in it and the stories of old-time Chicago, you'll find it. So we'll have her on for We Won't Go Back. And if you were reading the last one, and we had her on when that came out, I think you'll like it. And so good for her. I was very pleased to see it. It's the second book of the Farewell to South Shore series. And so yes, indeed, I liked it. So other than that, oh, I see. How about this? John says Naoto wants to close out the night. All right. Well, very, very good. Well, we'll talk about whatever is on his mind as soon as we get there. Trying to see if there's anything else that I need to tell you, because very often I go off the air and they say, oh, I meant to talk about it, and then, of course, you know, goes away. But I think it's, other than a bunch of political stuff that you don't want to hear, I think that the rest of it of non-interest. So Naoto in Japan is going to close the show, and welcome back to WGN Radio. How are you, Naoto?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty well. I'm currently visiting around the Tokyo area.
Yeah?
And I'm really curious about what kind of place do you recommend to visit from your perspective?
What kind of what?
What kind of places to visit?
Places to be like.
Like a travel recommendation or something, destination.
Okay.
Or, you know.
So now, when you say this, are you thinking of a vacation or are you thinking of moving?
It's more like moving, but,
Whoa.
Maybe vacation is more, easier to answer.
All right. Well, of course, you want to check it out first before you make any decisions, obviously. Now, have you lived, in Japan your entire life?
Yeah, nice.
Okay. And so, if you're thinking, I might like to get out of Dodge, what is it you want to get away from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it about Japan where you're saying, maybe I want to try somewhere else? What don't you like?
I'm currently living in an area which there are ways to transport or public transportation and, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, when you're talking about public transportation, you're going to find that more in all of the old cities of the world because they were built with a centralized downtown, and so it's easy to get that. So now it's a question of, do you care what the common language is in the country?
I think I can speak a little bit of English, so.
Yeah, you do fine with English, but I mean, we want to rule out Portugal if you don't know any Portuguese. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, English would be fine, but besides English and Japanese, do you speak anything else?
Not really.
Okay.
Only a little bit of French, but not really. So.
Okay, well, a lot of places speak English, probably more places speak English even than Japanese. So weather-wise, do you care if it's hot or cold?
I really hate hot places.
All right. Well, of course, it's summer. I can see where you're saying you want to get out of where you are right now. I get that. So now, as far as terrain and stuff like that, do you like mountain areas? Do you like seaside? What do you like?
I like mountain area.
Ah, good mountain area. So maybe a nice mountain with some lakes and stuff like that. All right. Well, now the show is about to end, but if you call me tomorrow night, especially if you call me earlier in the show, I will come up with a list for you and we can discuss them.
Oh, thank you so much.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Okay, good. Bye. All right. So, yeah, so many places. And I didn't even get into the political ramifications, but we'll touch on that, of course, because I'm not sure right now that one is necessarily too much better than another. But that does come into play. And, of course, also coming into play is the economics of it, because some places are tremendously affordable. And then, you got great mountains in Switzerland, but boy, does it have a high cost of living. And, yeah. All right, so that's an interesting question. Maybe you can weigh in as well. So that'll be fun. All right, so on that note, that'll be a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. 21 hours from now, let's do it again. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.